Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour sans music.
All right.
But down now with a fighter guest. She is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our good friend Maggie Dawn. Maggie, welcome back to the big show. How you doing?
Hey,
happy
Maggie.
Friday, sister.
Happy birthday, Maggie.
Thanks, Dom. I'm doing really well. Took today off, got to hang out with the dog all day, and she was really good. There's a first for everything. So.
You know, anyone watching you on the live stream video right now on the Facebook or the YouTubes or the Twitter Periscope saw the dog. What is that beautiful little girl's name?
Yeah, this is Josephine, but I call her Finny, and she's a little chocolate brown miniature dachshund who smells like pancakes basically all the time, so she doesn't suck.
How do you make a dog smell like pancakes? Do you feed her lots of pancakes? How does that work exactly?
They're like puppies. They have really, really, really intensely stinky breath, but like they smell amazing. That's just the puppy jam.
Pancakes. I could go for some pancakes.
I have all these. How do you even make that up, right?
You got some bacon to go along with it?
That is the only way to eat a pancake, my friend. And you know, because you've had brunch at my house. Newski's bacon, thick, fluffy blueberry pancakes, and a bunch of hot maple syrup. It's delightful.
And mimosas.
And, well, if the word is brunch, it requires mimosa for sure.
Maggie Dawn, you're a political friend, but a political friend as well, at least one I know that watches the politics pretty closely. You're also very intimately involved with the elections process through your day job. So, Maggie, let me first and foremost asked you, have there been any bitter claims of election fraud over the Wisconsin spring primary that you've heard?
No. As was the presidential election in 2020, this was an efficiently run election. It was safe, it was secure, and the results are reliable. As it's always been in Wisconsin and Milwaukee County, there are no issues in our election administration process.
Well, Maggie, we just went through the midterms in 2022. No claims of rampant voter fraud. We went through this spring primary. We've got a general coming up in April. Who knows? Could change. But the only one we ever really seemed to have a problem with was the one that Donald Trump ran in. How's that work?
It's this real pesky coincidence, isn't it? It's like, That we got it wrong that one time, and it just happened to be when Donald Trump lost. It's the strangest thing, isn't it?
But everybody,
coinky dink for DJT.
But everybody else on the ballot's quite satisfied with the results. All his Republican acolytes that did win election.
That was fine.
Now, if you win and you're a Republican, that was a fair and free election. If you lose, if you're a Republican, someone obviously rigged the system, and you've been cheated out of your rightful and duly owed electoral seat, as if elections almost don't matter anymore. It's an interesting political philosophy.
Well, Maggie, the election that happened, at least the primary, cast what could be the most important spring election of our lifetime. I certainly think it could be the perhaps third most important election in the state of Wisconsin that I recall, defeating Scott Walker, defeating Donald Trump. And now I would assert we need to defeat Dan Kelly, and a quote unquote liberal justice needs to join the court, change the balance of the court, and give Wisconsinites a fair chance, if meritorious cases come before the courts, to maybe demonstrate how politically unfair the gerrymandering has been here. It'd be nice to think they might get a fair hearing. Maggie, how important do you think this race is?
I mean, this is kind of for all the marbles, right? So not only is gerrymandering on the ballot, by extension, I would argue that basically the integrity of our democracy is on the ballot. And by that, I simply mean, we know that Brian Hagedorn was the critical fourth sort of like, gosh, he was the wall between us and autocracy, right? He cast some key votes, including one of Trump's challenges to the 2020 electoral outcomes. This election goes the other way, and we've got a Kelly. Wow, we got no shot. So not only gerrymandering and ensuring that our state assembly and Senate actually represents the purpleness of Wisconsin, and not that we have autocratic democracies where it's been so gerrymandered that we know that the basically the outcomes of those state assembly and Senate elections don't matter because Republicans will maintain near supermajority proportions in both houses. All of that, and holy cow, if we ever have a razor-thin election again, we want to be sure that there are actual jurists on the bench that will make sure that their decisions and cases actually support the will of the electors of Wisconsin, right? Like, that is what we need to happen. With Dan Kelly, you're just looking into the dark, dark, dark abyss. I don't know what that is, but that is not a place I want Wisconsin to go. So yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike. I actually think this one on balance is almost more important than the 2020 presidential election. It just is, because this is whether or not we get fair maps. This is about reproductive rights, but it's also about, are we going to actually preserve the democratic process here in the state of Wisconsin?
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. She's a good friend. She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, the recent birthday girl. Maggie Hagedorn, want to talk about that in regards to the redistricting. Hagedorn, of course, was a Scott Walker lawyer, worked directly with the former governor, clearly a Republican, has shown a smidgen of judicial independence on various cases. The least change that the Republican legislature said, basically, you got to bake in the last 10 years of bad maps into the creation of the next 10 years of bad maps. And Hagedorn was just fine with that. And then Tony Evers put forth his map recommendation. If I remember my history, the Republicans took theirs and Evers vetoed it. Hagedorn said, that's okay, we accept Tony's map. And then my understanding is it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They sent it back to Wisconsin, and Hagedorn flipped his vote and effectively overrode the veto of our Democratic governor. Do I have the history right? Is that something like it happened? Should I blame Hagedorn for his failure to find actual justification for his ruling? I mean, how do you just flip?
Right. It certainly seems a whole lot like legislating from the bench, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Conservative. I digress. That wasn't the question. That was one of the most complicated and bizarre series of both rulings and appeals and Hagedorn's particular position. I think from a layperson's perspective, my commentary as to all of that is simply this. Why on earth would you start from a premise that you must preference the prior map? Like, what happened if everybody like deserted an area because there was some sort of terrible, you know, like chemical waste that happened from a bad train incident and you had a mass migration? The whole idea that you would preference the prior map, whether you're a Democratic voter or a Republican one or an independent, is that we're preferencing incumbency, right? And so let's forget about all the partisanship for a second. Let's ask ourselves, do we think incumbents in general in elections overall have an overwhelming advantage? Of course they do. Why do the maps themselves have to add to that advantage? The idea that you would rig the way that the maps are drawn inherently, whether Democratic or Republican, to preference an incumbent should be an idea offensive to all. So this whole line of cases in this bizarre world that we ended up in, for those of us that have to deal with the pain of the census and drawing voting maps, i.e. legislative maps, I have always hated that. The problem, of course, is that you are asking people to change that preference, read legislators, that are the direct beneficiaries of that preference. So to me, I want independently and objectively drawn maps every 10 years that provide no preference to incumbency and that try to generally reflect the racial makeup, political leanings, other communities of interest, geographic boundaries, that again, make common sense. If you look at the map and it looks like a jigsaw puzzle, that's garbage. So, you know, that line of cases and Hagedorn, you know, you look at all of it and you go, it's still a totally bizarre outcome. But all of it simply points to the fact that this election and needing to ensure that Judge Janet Protasiewicz is seated on the Supreme Court is about protecting democracy. It's about one person, one vote. And it's about returning to some common sense and not these conservatives that find favor with one legal principle one day and the very next day throw that principle out the window simply because that's the way the GOP wind is blowing that day. You do not see that same sort of opportunistic jurisprudential approach when you look at more liberal justices. You just don't.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn, our friend, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Maggie, if you add up the percentages, and in just the last 2 minutes here, we'll carry it over to the next segment. The liberals, quote-unquote, Everett Mitchell and Protasiewicz got, what, 56 versus 54 to 46, I believe it was. But in Mitchell, the African-American, got about 7%. I'm a little concerned. I know we lump these numbers together like, oh, well, you know, if it stays that way, it'll be fine, and, you know, the Protasiewicz will win. But I'm concerned that perhaps our African-American brothers and sisters feel like they're not being represented. I'm concerned that maybe if Everett Mitchell, he's not the candidate now, that they might, maybe they'll stay home. Maggie, how important is it going to be, do you think, for the Protasiewicz campaign to have outreach to our African-American and brown brothers and sisters?
Yeah, here's what I would be trying to say and crafting an ad around if I was Judge Janet or working in her camp. Are you a black or brown voter in Milwaukee or Dane County, and do you feel that the Supreme Court doesn't represent you? You'd be right. Right? There was one black Supreme Court justice. His name was Louis Butler. He lost to a guy by the name of Gableman. Yes, yeah. Michael Gableman, insurrectionist, loving, you know, pants on fire, lying, Mike Lindell conference attending, money pit from hell hole, you know, commissioned to investigate, you know, the election of 2020 that came up with nothing. I digress. I think Janet has to deal with that directly. If I were her, I would be reaching out to Everett. And you have to address the very reality that black and brown people aren't represented on that court. And what is she going to do to help ensure that that doesn't remain the case beyond her own seat?
Well, if Dan Kelly wins, insurrectionists will be represented perhaps on the court. Our good friend Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, most importantly, our friend. Come back.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, and our friend sticking around for at least this segment. Thank you for doing so, Maggie. I want to get your take on the Dominion voting systems. They made public a brief that was very damning for Fox News and the powers that be and the hosts over there at Fox. Do you think of what you've seen of the emails and the text messages between the hosts and other folks at Fox that it reaches the level of actual malice? Do you think that they're in the right direction of proving their case for libel and slander? I don't hear you, Maggie.
There we go. There we go. Wasn't you? It was us.
Oh, okay. Good. I love it when it's not my fault. I don't know how you look at those text messages and emails and conclude that it was anything but malicious. They were promoting knowing falsehoods that they knew had no relationship to reality, regardless of and with no concern for the negative business impact on Dominion voting systems. Yep, that's pretty much what libel and slander laws are for. It was sort of a point of some discussion, right, that are we really going to see a big-time case ever where they can prove up actual malice and effectively consequential damages? I think this is the case, right? Like, this is the one that ends up in law school teaching textbooks about what this crime comprises of. And it's not just the fact that, like, management and producers and Rupert Murdoch himself knew that it was garbage. It was their on-air talent was then going on and letting people promote and themselves promote a knowing falsehood, right? That it's just like I'm just drooling as a trial lawyer, like thinking about like how I cut that video together for my closing arguments. Like that's gonna look real bad. And you could couple it with facts like between this date and this date, Tucker Carlson directly said or implied that the election was stolen due to rigged voting machines. What, like 25,000 times? Like, what's the total number? So the facts in this case are at a point of being truly extreme that I would be shocked if there's not a verdict in favor of Dominion. Rupert Murdoch in one of those emails said, basically asked in a sort of slick way, do you think we have any liability exposure here? Well, Roop, I got news for you. You do. It's probably going to hurt a lot. Like, think like six zeros at least, maybe seven. It's certainly good. I don't know if they get to whatever the damages claim was, like $2 billion. I don't know you get there, but some big time numbers.
Maggie Dawn, our good friend and fine guest, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, soon to be presidential candidate Ron DeSantis, is trying to take the exact opposite tack. He is trying to roll back the First Amendment, both in regards to public protest of Ron DeSantis at the Florida State not governor's mansion, Capitol. But above and beyond that Scott Walker reminiscent sort of act, he's also effectively trying to roll back the protections for journalists and the standard for suing a journalist as a public figure for defamation. Effectively, it's the poor public figure like Ron DeSantis that would be shielded in an unconstitutional way, to my opinion, Maggie Dawn. Now, he is quite hopeful that this legislative piece, that although he's denying it today, his colleague over in the legislature kind of threw him under the bus with Politico yesterday and said Ron DeSantis is helping to craft this piece. A future presidential candidate running on effectively rolling back the Constitution, and Maggie Dawn trying to roll back the outcome of New York Times Sullivan. What do you think the outcome would be under this Supreme Court?
Well, under this Supreme Court, that's pretty easy math. But I think the real question is not what can Ron DeSantis get done in Florida. I mean, that's disturbing, right? But Floridians have chosen the path of their state, right? Like, just color Florida in red now. But there's absolutely no possibility that this ever becomes law on a federal level, right? And I just want to reemphasize, Mike, the literal words that you began your comment with, which was just the opposite of what's happening in the Dominion voting systems case. Like, so you have a conservative news outlet, right? The OG, Fox News, using the laws to protect themselves and their speech rights that Ron DeSantis in another argument wants to weaken so that news agencies like Fox News can be more easily sued. This is quite the little intellectual pretzel making. I mean, like, again, this is, as I said before, it's really amazing the legal arguments that Republicans will make out of one side of their mouth for one thing and then completely forget on some other issue. There is just not an intellectual through line of any meaning other than, gee whiz, does it work for me now? Because it happens to be convenient, right, for Republicans to adopt a cancel culture position on things like CRT, right, then that's fine. But if someone shouts them down because one of theirs is saying racist, homophobic, hateful stuff and is rightfully shouted down, they call that cancel culture. I call book burning and book banning and, you know, just not teaching kids history to actually be cancel culture.
Maggie Dawn, can you stick around a bit longer?
For you, Mike and Dom, of course.
Oh, excellent.
Well, don't forget Ebone. But I got to ask you, January 6th, the video, 41,000 hours being disseminated to specifically Tucker Carlson at Fox News.
Only.
Tucker Carlson at Fox News by Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, I guess. And he said, well, I got to do it. I promised And I'm thinking, well, who did you promise? Come back. We are the Devil's Advocates. It's Friday. We air grievances. We're rolling through the happier happy hour with Maggie Dawn, our good friend, fine guest, and dog owner. It's a cute little dog. I don't mean you, Dom. I mean the dog. Come back. More Devils.
Dom too, though. Dom too, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happier happy hour. I am extremely happy. Maggie Dawn has agreed to stick around, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our good friend. And Maggie, I understand you had a suggestion. I got a few suggestions. Donald Trump, DJ extraordinaire, Thursday nights down in Mar-a-Lago. Get your tickets. I hear they're selling out almost every Thursday night for the stylings of Trump playing Celine Dion from Titanic. But I got to give credit to Mama Ebone. Evan's mom has been making multiple contributions on the Facebook live stream. Mama Mary's got at least three here, I can see. She said for the suggested DJ, you know, Donald Trump DJ names, Glutimus Maximus, Sleazy Jeezy.
Oh, that's good.
I think the very best one is the last one. Saving the best for last from Ebone Mama Mary, Deadbeat Box Don. Deadbeat Box Don. Well done, Mary. Thanks for listening.
That's cute. That's really cute. Oh, Evan, your mom listens to the radio that you're on. That's so cute. I love that.
Now, Maggie, right, so
my suggestion.
Yes, let's hear yours.
First, you have to observe that the guy's middle, like his initials are DJT, right? Like his middle name, right? So mine is DJ4T, and the 4T is Trump is a, Trump the Tangerine Trader does tunes. You know I love me some alliteration. That's my jam all the time. So DJ4T was my idea for that.
DJ4T.
I like Mama Evans much better, though. That's so cute.
Tom on Facebook calls him the gluten grifter.
Maggie, I got to ask. My favorite, of course, is mine, is Seditious D.
Oh, yeah, that, mm-hmm.
See, it just kind of rolls off the tongue, you know?
It really does. And I have this, like, such, please, someone who is a political cartoonist, please do this cartoon. I have this image of this, like, what was that huge blobby thing in Star Wars?
Jabba the Hutt?
Jabba the Hutt, right? Like, this Jabba the Hutt style Donald Trump sitting, like, his mats around him, right? In, like, a huge banquette. In this like salmon colored, super tacky like, version of a 90s, you know, Oceanside Club with like his iPad, and it's got like ketchup and all this like goo all over it from his fat fingers, and he's just got like a stack of quarter pounders, right? Like, you know that is how that is going down, and it's straight yacht rock.
Yacht rock closing. Our friend Jeff, a frequent contributor, he's got one. DJ Low T.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I think that's my favorite. Seditious D and DJ Low T.
Yeah, I think we're getting somewhere here, folks. This is good stuff.
Someone needs to hashtag that DJ Low T,
Maggie,
with his political cartoon.
Maggie, let me ask you about Wisconsin's own insurrectionist wannabe counsel to the insurrectionist coup here in the state of Wisconsin, Supreme Court candidate in the general election, Dan Kelly. This was surprising news that came out. I mean, I know Doro got some bad press, but the connection between Dan Kelly and the RNC and the Wisconsin GOP, and it's not just that he's a partisan, it's that he was advising on air quotes election issues.
Oh, he was literally on the payroll.
well, mm-hmm. on the payroll, giving advice about the fraudulent, criminally, I would allege, fraudulent false elector scheme with Republican Party Chair Andrew Hinton. How do we know this? How did Dan Bice put this onto page six? Well, of course, it was in the January 6th testimony. And let's not forget, Brian Stile, congressman from the great state of Wisconsin, is very supportive of Kevin McCarthy's release of the partisan, well, release of the 41,000 hours to partisan Tucker Carlson. But those are two different issues. Let's talk about Dan Kelly. Do you take any issue with the fact that he advised on a coup plot?
Do I take
allegedly
any issue with the fact that this guy might be on the Supreme? Yes, I do, Mike. That's actually the easiest question of the day. It should be disqualifying. The guy should have his bar license yanked, right? Like, everyone knew that this was not true. Everyone did, okay? Everyone did. At least people that weren't idiots or, frankly, a little psychologically damaged. I know I shouldn't be saying it that way, but that's true. So did Dan Kelly. So what did he do? He took $120,000 to try to run a grift on the American public. And why did he do it? There's only two reasons. You really needed the money, which raises a whole host of other problems. Or you're greedy and, like, you have no centering values at all. Like, you'll say and do anything for a buck if you think it, like, works for you and your kind. It's, like, the most despicable thing. Jennifer Darrow, I can hate what she has done to shield her son from the results and consequences that he has justly earned. But I can at least understand the impulse as a mother, right? This, Dan Kelly's probably a millionaire a few times over. He was an equity partner at a huge law firm in Milwaukee for like over a decade. Why would you do this? It was so intellectually bankrupt. The law is not there. This is why Trump lost, what, like, 79 of 81 lawsuits or something like that. Like, it's just not there. And Dan knew that, did it anyways. Like, if that sort of behavior by lawyers doesn't qualify you to get your license taken from you, I don't know what would. But here in this universe, the GOP rewards you by getting you on the ticket for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Like, bravo for having absolutely no moral core.
Maggie, we talk about crime fraud exemptions and attorney-client privilege. Apparently, Dan Kelly acted as counsel to the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin as they discussed this false elector scheme. And Andrew Hitt, we know through the testimony he gave under oath on the January 6th, still somewhat evasive and elusive, to my opinion, reading the transcript. But Andrew Hitt effectively said, we talked about the false elector scheme. Well, if that is decided and if there are indictments and charges and they find this false elector scheme, as I would assert, to be criminal in nature.
Yeah.
Would to advise on this, would that make you a criminal? I mean, if you're a lawyer advising this, even if you aren't part of the execution, aren't you part of the seditious conspiracy?
Well, there's two things, right? First of all, you could have him called as a witness because the attorney-client privilege doesn't exist if you're advising them about how to commit a crime, right? Like, think what you will of us lawyers, but that's one big no-no. That's extraordinary. And then the question is the one that you're alluding to, Mike. Is that act in and of itself a crime, right? Yeah, he would be subject of a criminal investigation. I can't believe we're in a place where these are the sorts of candidates that we're discussing. Like, and not to mention, as long as we're on the topic, he's also just a jerk interpersonally. I mean, just like not fun to hang around with if you subscribe to the George W. Bush theory of picking a candidate, right? It's like you don't want to have a beer with that guy.
But being a jerk is not a disqualifier. I mean, I know a few jerks. I've been a jerk. That is not disqualifying.
Like, yeah, if it were, Mike, you wouldn't probably be on the radio.
Being a jerk is not disqualifying. Being a lawyer advising
a willful participant in a seditious conspiracy, correct, trying to hide, correct, behind your law license. Yeah, that's a problem.
How does that make you a constitutional conservative if you're against the Constitution?
No, don't steal my line. That is what I said the day that that article came out. I was on the line with you guys, and I said, oh, yes, the constitutional conservative. Dan Kelly was like, yeah, those people that voted, we don't need to do that. They really didn't know what was best for them, but I do, right? Like that guy.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Maggie Dawn hanging out with us, talking all the legal stuff. There's lots of legal stuff out there on a national scope. I want to get your opinion, counselor, on just a few of them. FBI.
One quick thing, Don.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to address the Speaker of the House turning over all this video to one journalist.
McCarthy, yeah.
Where are the lawsuits? They should be filed already from
Mike Lindell's threatening.
Under the federal guy. Right? These are all FOIA sunshine law questions. If you've released it to one, that means we all get it, and we all get it right now. Why are they waiting around? Like, why are you giving them a head start and cobbling together, like, effectively a deep fake video that finds the 5 minutes out of 41,000 hours where you might see someone with a, you know, Donald Trump flag and a Confederate flag maybe putting out a fire, right? The 5 minutes of 41,000 hours. I mean, I just, where are the lawsuits? Why have they not been filed yet? I don't get it.
Well, I would imagine, you know, reputable outfits, New York Times, Washington Post, others would be in line for this. I mean, I'm fine with dissemination. I don't want to see, you know, rooms and different security measures being breached. I understand that part of it. But I mean, if you're going to release it. You don't, correct, give it to one so, specific
like, I am
person.
All for turn the videotape over. Yeah, it just is what it is, right? Like, it is what it is. Let it go in its entirety. I think, not to take it too hard of a pivot, one of the consistent demands that you hear for people that are trying to address some of the racial injustice issues that affect communities that interact more frequently with the police is that it's the request for the video.
Yeah.
Now, in any given incident, you can have thousands of hours, right? Like, three or four or five different officers, like there's cams on the squad. Sometimes if they've got ShotSpotter, there's stuff from the intersections. It's a huge amount of information. But at the end of the day, the only question that really can be answered is that a public record? It sure is. And secondly, will it do more damage to the families and the officers, right, in equal measure if it gets turned over? Well, the answer to that is it will have to be turned over eventually. There's no way that stays private for all perpetuity. It just doesn't. So if that's the case, then why not turn it over more quickly? So I don't have a problem like you, Dom, with Mark McCarthy turning over the video, but you don't just get to do it to like your favorite best friend's treehouse club that you know is going to find only the good things about you. You know, like, that does not work. You have to give it to all of the journalists.
Well, I wouldn't call him necessarily a journalist. We're talking about Tucker Carlson, who's also, you know, one of these guys who was involved in Fox News and this, you know, big lie, right? I mean, telling people.
Serial liar, elitist, fancy wine drinking Tucker Carlson. That guy.
Didn't Hunter Biden help his kid get into college?
He tried. All you can do is ask. Maggie Dawn, Special Counsel Jack Smith, going after the Vice President. Vice President Pence, he does not want to testify. Quote, let me be clear. I'm going to fight the Biden DOJ subpoena for me to appear before the grand jury because I believe it's unconstitutional and it's unprecedented. Well, I would also assert so was the attack on the Capitol and the seditious conspiracy to make that happen. But what's your sense on the legal jostling on the vice president's testimony before Jack Smith and the grand jury?
Well, before we get to that highbrow stuff, right, wouldn't it have been better if Pence started that statement with, like, let me clear my throat? Right? Like, that would have been better. What is Pence's strategy here? Like, I don't understand this sort of convoluted assertion of executive privilege. Yeah, that would apply to things like trying to come up with a cogent strategy for your China trade policy. That doesn't apply to, gee whiz, how are we going to thwart the will of the American people yet again today? Like, doesn't cover that. And it has to be Pence is trying to make a calculation that he can't be placed under oath and answer these questions because, right, Pence would tell the truth. And so he's got to hold that subpoena off for as long as possible.
Well, thank you, Maggie. Don, hold.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie stuck around because Dom's missing in action, but we'll get him on board. There he is. Where were you, man? You know that's a short break. I told Maggie, Dawn, our fine guest, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She said, should I stick around? I said, sure, but then we got to take a few grievance calls because we've been telling people, you know, air the grievances. And the fine guest is not one of them unless she, you know, filibusters the whole show. So let's take a few callers, Maggie. If you don't mind, we're going to the phones. A very patient Greg from Michigan. At least you called back, Greg. Say hi to our friend, Maggie Dawn.
Hey, Maggie, how's it going?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, so a quick question here. I'm in Michigan and starting to have a bit of a problem. There's black people everywhere.
See, so here we go again. Let's make sure we take Greg's call and that number and never take that call again. 844-967-2789. We got Rico from Rock County. Welcome, Rico. What do you got for us?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico to the rescue.
You are our white knight Don Quixote, Rico.
I got a little bit of the good, I got a little bit of the bad, and I got some ugly if you want to hang around. It kind of mixes in with the bad, you know?
Hey, we got enough ugly in Dom's box over here, Rico.
Oh, come on. Shout out to Maggie. You got my favorite on here tonight. Oh, yeah, we love Maggie. Hey, how's it going? This is now, I had something thought up, and I'm not going to forget here, but the good, right here. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart the almost 500,000 strong voters that came out in support of Judge Janet and Everett Mitchell. That was big. That's a step in the right direction, folks, because I'm telling you what, as they've been talking about right here on this show, give me a second here, guys. This and the fact that this Make America Great Again Trump supporters, maggots for short, hey, the fact that they're still running in our elections is a slap in our face. And shout out to Tom out there on the West Coast, buddy. We, the people, in Wisconsin right here, we can fix this. We need to eradicate this cancer from our state. And thank you guys for being a little voice out for that. That's all I'm going to say tonight. I got it all in, didn't I? I'll leave room for a few more callers.
Thanks, Rico. We appreciate it, man. Oh, we can fix it, Maggie. We've been reflecting on the Protasiewicz win and the turnout. I mean, let's talk about that for just a minute. Although as a percentage, it doesn't seem great, but damn, I mean, this was record turnout, Maggie. To what do you attribute that?
Huge. I think people have gotten the message that this really matters. And I think when you had a taste of what complete instability and crazy feels like, I just don't think that most people want that, right?
Yeah.
And again, like,
we can't all thrive in those conditions.
Right? I really think the abortion question is a big deal. It was sort of like you got what you wished for. Now you live with that and try explaining that. Because there's women in your family that have had to get an abortion and you don't know about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there.
844-967-2789. Megadon, legally speaking, we talked about some of the strategies here, and I found it kind of interesting when we see the contradiction between, like, the Fox News, you know, using the Sullivan New York case, and then you have DeSantis wanting to overturn that, right? You know, these conservatives. Same kind of thing with Mike Pence, right? Mike Pence wanted to use one part of the law to shield him from testifying before the January 6th committee. Now he wants to use an entirely different defense to not just to justify not speaking to Jack Smith and the DOJ. But what about the ex-FBI agents have now apparently it's been approved that they can get testimony from Chris Wray and former President Donald Trump in their case. Maggie, do you think that's got any legs?
Oh, I think it's actually pretty huge, because the standard for reviewing that trial court's decision to compel the testimony is extraordinarily high. And so as a judge, you'd really have to go pretty deep into the, like, soulless, I have no intellectual integrity or honesty at all trough to get into that, because the testimony is clearly relevant. And the most problematic element of Donald Trump was that he learned so early how to speak like a mob boss, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He never said, I need you to go kill Jack Smith for me now, and if you don't, you're out. Right? Like, person after person that has been in his circle is like, no, you all understood, like, what the deal was. And he expelled anyone that wasn't, like, obsequiously personally loyal to him. Right? So the trick with someone like that is you have to have the documents. You have to understand exactly what they say and what they don't say.
Right.
And you have to ask him under oath a lot of really specific questions, because there's very little that you can object to in a deposition. And that is sworn testimony. I posted about this as soon as it happened. I was like, watch out, DJT, because it was the Paula Jones deposition that got Clinton impeached and then disbarred. Clinton no longer has a law license in the state of Arkansas because of that testimony. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal. Like, watch that space for sure.
You know, I heard Rudy Giuliani's looking to get a law license in the state of Arkansas. It might be the only state where he's allowed to practice under the bar.
Yeah. Oh, Rudy.
Oh, Rudy.
How far the mighty have fallen, my friend.
844-967-2789. Just in case. I'll throw it out there. There's still time.
Just to throw it in there. Trump, what's Trump's defense on this? Trump and Christopher Wray. I mean, what is the legal tact do you think they would take to try to get out of this deposition?
I think the next round, you have to assume, is going to be about, I'm sure, like, the intelligence level of things, and, like, there's no circumstance under which a president should be asked those sorts of questions, let alone in a civil proceeding, right? This isn't a criminal case that we're talking about. And I think also mixed with claims of executive privilege. So I think there's going to be a whole now side light of that going on. And they'll come back at things two or three times from, like, different procedural angles, but the arguments will be similar. All of that is just to delay, and it will all be appealed. So I would put at the earliest that you could maybe expect to see Donald Trump under oath actually having to give testimony in this case would be at least a year or more from now.
Maggie Dawn, have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Good
have a wonderful
you guys.
Weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, Maggie. To the Devil's Advocates. Pizza Box Mike at 7.
Won't get us again, Hageman.